So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, a lot of little kids, they'll tell you that they want to be a police officer when they grow up. Hell, when I was little, that was one of my future jobs, along with being an astronaut and a truck driver, because, you know, I was going to be a jack of many trades, a master of none. But being a cop, it was at the top of the list, and why not? You know, you're a little kid, you watch TV, and based on what I saw on TV, I would rescue passengers from a plane that crashed in the ocean, pull survivors from a collapsed high-rise, deliver babies in a car wreck, defuse a bomb, successfully negotiate the release of hostages, and, of course, take down international drug lords. Side note, all of these are actual plots from TV shows. Exciting stuff. But then you get a little older and you read actual news. Here's some actual headlines. Officers tackle naked man running through Walmart. Officer vomited on by drunk suspect in the back of patrol car. Police free suspect trapped in an HVAC system. And, of course, police, as you said, Miles, arrest OnlyFans model for urinating on food at a supermarket. Yes, that's the reality of the job. Then I said, you know what? Maybe I'll get in the radio. Now, all of that said, there is real work to be done. And you know that if you've been in a situation where you've needed the police. Or maybe you know that because you created the situation where the police were needed. But if you're like most people of a certain age, you've been on both sides of the legal fence. Sometimes the cops called on you. Sometimes you need the cops' assistance. And that's what we're talking about today, right? So a little bit later today on our show, we will be joined by two police officers from the Seattle Police Department. The good news is we know they're coming. They're not here to arrest us. That would be John Huber and Jake Masterson. They'll be joining us in studio, like you said, Miles, for the green DUI. And in this case, we call them in because, hey, they're going to educate us to what they're looking for, the sure signs that you're really, really high when they pull your ass over. See, we're doing a service today. But typically, as Miles said earlier in the office, I still get nervous around cops. So we'll be nervous a little bit later. But that leads to today's question, which is good or bad? Why were the police talking to you?
To be a part of the big show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on X and Instagram and Men's Room Live. Send your emails to themensroom at KISW.com and now watch the show live on YouTube at KISW Rock.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Botchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Hello, Michelle's away we go. Welcome to the 20th anniversary season, episode number 4,435. What a large and a charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. We will be joined by two police officers from the Seattle Police Department today. Officers John Huber and Jake Masterson. In the holiday spirit, we're going to talk green DUIs.
That's right, because tis the season.
It is. When you hang out with family, some annoying friends, maybe you're just having a good time. Sometimes you get into the green over the holidays.
Yeah, red eyes, green DUIs.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Right before that big meal, maybe step outside for a minute, get in the zone.
Yeah, work up a hunger.
Watch a little bowl action football or NFL football. You're sitting around the house. You get in the zone.
Sure.
The problem is then you get hungry and you think it's okay to go to the 7-Eleven and pick up a quick snack or something like that. Maybe not the best idea.
It is not.
So if you were listening to the program yesterday, we told you the story probably at least 15 years ago, maybe more, because we've been here for 20 and I can't keep up. But Ben the Psycho Muppet, our producer, the same officers came into the studio 15 years ago, and they are actually SPD DRE instructors.
What is DRE?
We're going to ask them.
I mean, that's a cool title, but like, what does DRE, man?
Well,
so I'm assuming they're like training officers of some kind.
Yeah, they train more than likely other officers for doing their job and doing it correctly and whatever those protocols are as far as pulling someone over for a DUI because they were here last time. You got to remember, man, when they were here, we might have had medical marijuana.
I don't think we did yet.
But either way, the emphasis, and it always it still is DUIs. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the prime things, obviously. But it was more focused on, those tests and, things to look out for as far as if someone's intoxicated behind the wheel and all that. So Ben got hammered.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then they put him through all the tests, whatever that is. Touch nose, eyes here, follow this, walk in a straight line. Say the alphabet backwards, which I think Mike is the only one who could probably do
that. I couldn't do that. So that seems so unreasonable.
I couldn't do it right now. The alphabet backwards?
ZYXWVUTSRQP.
Damn.
P-O.
You're drunk. You're drunk.
M.
Hold on.
L.
L.
K. J.
I. H.
G
G F E D C B A.
All right. Okay,
yeah,
you
but
go.
Still,
you may be on your way.
Now, man, I still have to
now walk in a straight line. I want toes to heels.
I can do that.
Heel to
toe.
I think that's hard to do. Heel to toe. Yeah,
it's hard to do, but I feel with the pressure of the cops. If you are sober, you will pull it off. Counting back or doing the alphabet backwards, like, bro, come on, man.
As I'm saying, sober me would just be like, I can't.
I can't look. Yeah. Can we just do the blood alcohol thing? I'm like, skip the. Just do the blood. I'm not drunk, but I can't do the alphabet backwards, man. Let's cut to the quick.
So I'm not telling you to go crazy today, but beginning tomorrow through the new year, the Seattle PD will have dedicated DUI emphasis on the streets. And they're going to do that to keep us safe all the way through New Year's Eve. They are doing this 7 days a week to stop drivers who choose to drive impaired and hopefully stop some of the idiots out there that aren't and still drive like asses. The message they say is simple, have fun, enjoy your vice, but make a plan. that does not involve getting behind the wheel after imbibing on anything.
Or playing snacky cut.
So maybe a good idea to, you know, download a DoorDash app or Uber Eats or whatever you can. Get ready just in case you happen to get hungry or thirsty.
Or don't drive high. How about that?
Well, that's what I mean. Or have them drive it to you. You know what I mean? You're going to order something from a restaurant or do something like that. But either way, they're going to come in and tell us some of the tells, I guess, on, you know, if you're stoned behind the wheel or not.
I just find that so funny. Even with the drunk thing, because as someone who imbibes in plenty of alcohol and plenty of green, I'm like, oh, I can tell. Oh, like, yeah. I'm the cop you should hire. Like, bro, look, I'm not going to do any tests. We're going to talk for a second. You are high and drunk.
Right.
Or you were just drunk.
Look, I've been on I-5 before. Windows all the way up. The guy in front of me was just chiefing it up in the car.
Yeah, right? And you know.
I could smell it. I could smell it in my car.
Everybody can. And yeah, I don't know, like, people that drive and smoke, I'm don't know why 65. They think you can't.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm going whatever the speed limit is. But however fast I'm going, I can smell
this. He was under 25.
I can smell this coming through my car. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ. And it wasn't a vape. It's not a vape. You know, you see those guys blow those mega clouds out the window. That smells like sometimes like strawberry or grape or whatever the hell it is. But when you're smoking weed in the car.
Weed smells like weed. That's all weed smells like. It smells like weed.
The only thing you could get close is maybe a skunk. But if you're driving in front of me and I see the smoke come out, that ain't a skunk.
If the cop can't tell the difference between a skunk and weed, you got a real problem.
Yeah. So John is the impaired driving training coordinator.
But what does DRE mean? Mike, do you know what DRE means? Like, listen, guys, I'm sure it's cool. It's great that you have it in your title.
Damn right you're imbibing.
Ooh, yeah, there you go.
I can tell.
Or did they spell dare wrong?
In medical terms, it means digital rectal exam.
Ooh, look out.
Wow. He's a drug recognition expert.
Oh, all right. Look
at you. You're
screwed.
That's not like, all right.
Yeah. So they're going to come in at around 4:30 today. We're going to talk to them about all this stuff and get educated, so to speak. I mean, you know a lot about maybe getting high, but you don't know.
I want to know the tell, because the idea is that we get stoned and then they'll give us the tells.
Yeah, pretty much.
Other than me giggling profusely the whole time we're talking. But I don't think you giggle as much if you get pulled over, right? Recognize, like, oh, yeah. I'm in trouble. Guys, like, look, man, I'm in the studio. I'm hopping on the light rail. I'm all good. I'm just going to be high like everyone else in the light rail.
So, yeah, Castle comes in and goes, be careful in there. You know what I mean? Just, you know, make sure it's on the level, you know, if you're going to do whatever you do. And I'm like, we do a shot of the day every day at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, I think we'll be all right in this one. So
we'll find out.
Yeah. 4:30 come up. Officers John Huber and Jake Masterson from the Seattle Police Department.
Somebody got arrested.
Yeah, they're going to wait for you in the parking garage.
Man, oh, man. That's going to be... I did not do that today.
All right, you're thinking.
Yes, I was. I got up nice and early.
That was yesterday. Like, it was wild. Miles got arrested after the show.
They told me.
The guys, we were just there.
Jesus, are you high? What happened to you? So that's going to be some fun. And in honor of that today, we're going to talk about times that you've talked to the cops in your lifetime. The most memorable one, whether it was a bad one, whether it was a good one. Sometimes they're better than others. Sometimes it's just, hey, guys, turn down the volume, please. And if I have to come back, then there's going to be a problem.
Right, same line. About a month ago. It was the day of the poker tournament with the Advocates, right?
All right.
I had like 85 different obligations that day. The Advocates had a poker tournament. My wife and I, we joined them for that. Actually, it was a very good time.
Yeah,
lot of fun. But then there was a party we had to go to later. So we leave the Advocates. We swing by the house, grab the kids. We're going to this party. This party is maybe 2 miles away from my house.
Now you have the kids in the car.
Yeah, the kids are in the car at this point. We finished the poker tourney, got the kids, going over to the friend's house. A bunch of kids are there. They're going to have a great time. They're excited. And we get pulled over, right? Now, normally, that means my wife is speeding. She's not speeding, right? So we have no idea. No big deal. But they roll up on both sides of the car, which typically is not their move.
Oh,
when it's
like,
just a
like,
traffic,
you know,
violation.
F-14s or 16s.
Right. No, just like the two cops get out. But in the time it takes them to get to our doors, like three more cop cars show up. And the lights are going. Sirens are not on, but the lights are going. Like, all right. So my wife instantly goes into panic mode. And I said, look, whatever this is about, it's a mistake, so just be cool. Like, if this many people are coming up, right, unless you did something, right? But I'm like, we're fine. Still, she's kind of wound up about it, but they walk up.
How are the kids? They've never had this before.
They've never been in this.
Well, maybe they have with your wife.
No, but that's just speedy.
Yeah.
But they don't know necessarily what to make of it, but I'm telling them, I'm like, guys, everything's going to be fine. But the cops roll up and they ask each of us, not the kids, but me and my wife, to step out of the vehicle. So I'm like, okay, this is a little different. But I get out and there's like four cops on my side. Maybe two are talking to her. We can't hear each other's conversation. She just said, I could overhear you every once in a while and you were cussing. And so I thought something bad was going to happen. I said, nobody was fighting. I said, this is how I effing talk. You know what I mean? I'm not going to talk to them any different. They're still human beings. And again, I got nothing to worry about because whatever this is, it has nothing to do with me. So I don't care. We just got to get through the process for them to figure this out. And I know that going into it. But all the cops are there. And the first thing they ask, this was, I keep my eyes a little buzzed. But the main guy talking to me. So there's like the main guy talking to me. He's being friendly. Then there's an angry looking dude
behind
him. Good
cop, bad cop.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So the guy talking to me, and everything is sir and all this kind of thing. And they were very cordial, but he says, do you have any weapons? Now, this was my favorite moment. I just looked him right in the eye, and I kissed both of my fists slowly. And that made even angry cop kind of chuckle. I'm like, bro, I got nothing on me. What's up? So they explain the scenario. This goes on for a little while. They're kind of being a little evasive. And finally, they get to the point. They say, look, the reason we pulled you over is that a couple miles away on Aurora, a guy, a black male in the exact same vehicle that you're in, apparently sexually assaulted a woman at gunpoint and then drove off. Like, it was a bad.
How did they know that you were black in the car? You guys have tinted windows. You can't even see in your car.
I'll put it this way. I think what happened was when our vehicle went by, it matched the description.
Okay. Right?
Then they pull you over. Gotcha. They roll up to the window. They see my ass. And I mean, you could tell they were kind of tense because this guy, whoever it was, whatever he did exactly, I know there's a
car,
sexual assault.
It's a little more recognizable.
It absolutely is, right? Mm-hmm. And the guy, like I said, was all at gunpoint. So it was a bad.
This is
bad
when you
scene.
Hope that people maybe could recognize you.
Well, maybe not. Like, aren't you thrilled that you did what? You know, so.
Hands behind your back.
So I get out of the car, I'm talking to the guy, I kiss my fist. We have kind of a chuckle. So they ease up a little bit because I truly believe their perspective was whoever we are speaking to right now is too stupid to be the guy we're looking for. The stupid guy being me because I'm just loose. Mm-hmm. I do not care. I just want to get this over with. But I know the kids are in the back seat, so I'm just going to be cool about it. They finally explain, you know, the sexual assault thing matches the vehicle. We pulled you over. We saw you. That's why we're having a conversation. And he was very apologetic. And I said, bro, you are a cop. And this happened. Keep in mind, where we are is maybe 2 miles away from Aurora. Right. Based on the time frame, they would have made it about as far as we did. So if you didn't pull me over and you see my ass and don't question me, I said, you're not doing your effing job, dude. I get it. I'm just not sweating it because I'm not him. You see, that's why I'm being cool. Then they kind of peek in and see the kids. And they're kind of,
hello.
Well, they were like, man, our bad. I said, dude, don't worry about it. Do not worry about it. It is fine. As happens, I'll explain it to them. So get back in the car. My wife's a little fired up. She's not quite angry, but I think it just got her adrenaline going. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And she's like, man, I'm just not used to crap like that. I'm like, I'm black. I am. This, we call this life, baby. That is how it rolls. So just be cool, right? So the kids are like, what was that about? And I told them straight up. And they're like, oh, my God. I said, well, yeah, but it's not me. Guys, don't worry about it. Just go to the party. Mm-hmm. Let's have fun. We had a good time. And again, they were super apologetic.
Your mom lets me sexually assault her.
I was like, that's what we do. But I was like, don't worry about it. This is life.
If they Sunday mornings, really early.
They didn't pull us over, then they weren't doing their job.
Yeah.
It fit the freaking description. But again, when you know you've done nothing, you don't sweat it. Now, I do have a different attitude if you get pulled over. It's like one cop. She's like, all right, this is a nothing burger, right? You're not calling for backup, nothing.
My problem is just finding my my registration and my insurance.
I should put it in the glove box,
I should just have it on the ready. I do. I cleaned out my glove, but it's still like one of those things like, oh, I got napkins. Oh, look, you know, I got a face mask in here. Why do I still have this?
Do they ask you to do it slowly?
Well, typically.
I've always been asked to do it slowly. Typically,
typically if I get pulled over, just based on, you know, the road, typically the officer will come up to the passenger window anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm already digging in the glove box, just looking for whatever I got in there, you know. And then finally, once I get past that, I'm like, all right, here you go. I'm good to go. I'm legal. You know?
Sure.
Like,
I try not to dig around until he's at the window.
Well, just so he doesn't see your body moving.
Think you're moving around and all that crap.
Yeah, and like, you know, like I got my car from my buddy. His two kids had owned it before. Like the tint's a little, it's just below the legal limit. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, I just turn on the dome, like, keep the hands on the wheel.
Well, you got a drug dealer's car, too.
Right, then when he comes up, I can be like, hey, I don't have anything in here. I'm going to reach for the stuff now.
Yeah, I feel like in your car, if I'm the cop and I see you kind of shuffling around, even if you're doing the honest thing, like, I might feel compelled to want to search.
You also have one of those cars, like, that, like, a 21-year-old would drive and, like, race in Lakewood.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what I'm saying. I mean,
when I first got it, I picked up a buddy and he's like, what are you here to sell me crappy cocaine? And I was like, no, it's just,
I got good cocaine.
Right. And his buddy, and the one kid had worked at a detail shop. So, I mean, they're just below the legal limit. But, like, yeah, I would definitely, I'll turn on the light, just keep my hands on the wheel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's not a bad idea. I mean, for sure.
Yeah.
Because no matter what you've done, if you have lights flashing in the back, you're just like, oh, no.
I mean, it could be 10 a.m. Once they get behind you, you're right. It's just, it's a natural reaction.
And the last time I was pulled over, I was on a stretch of road where just the way the interstate and the road worked, there was not a lot of room. There was no room on the right-hand side. So, you know, I put on my hazards because I'm like, look, man.
To let them know.
I'm just looking for, I don't want you to die. Because you gave me a speeding ticket because some jackass, you know, got off the side of the road by 2 feet. That's all that's left.
Are you still obligated to pay the ticket?
Well,
you pull over, it's a narrow shoulder, he ends up getting knocked off a bridge.
It's a safety of me, it's a safety of his car, my car.
But I'm saying,
I just need to find that spot.
If the guy gets knocked, say, off of a bridge, you're on an overpass, right? And, you know, some jackass sideswipes him, and he goes over the side, like, do I still owe this ticket? I mean, like, what do I do? I mean, he was writing the ticket.
Well, I just paid to Oregon, so I wouldn't be in your dad's position because I like to go down there.
Yeah. He's not going.
You go to Oregon too much.
That's right. I can't afford to be like, ooh, you owe some money here, sir.
Oh, my dad owes a lot of money. A lot of money. And I don't know if the rules have changed, but they never stop pursuing it. So they're not going
to. But your dad's also a little bit more curt to police officers than probably I would be.
He does not give enough. My favorite, man. I was like 12 years old. He was doing 45 and a. No, he's doing 47 and a 35, all right? Scott pulls him over. It's just me and him in the car. I'm maybe 12. I had never interacted with police outside of them maybe visiting your school to tell you blah, blah, blah. And so the cop rolls up to the window. And as a kid, I'm kind of excited, like, ooh, first interaction with the cop. I know it's just speeding, but still, kind of a big deal. Cop rolls up. My dad, just the way he rolled down the window, didn't have electric windows yet, so his arm's shaking and he has it down and he's just waiting. And my dad's already looking out the window. Mm-hmm. Waiting for the guy. Guy comes. And look, the cop is perfectly nice. Said, sir, you were speeding. My dad's on. Said, you were going 47 and a 35 mile an hour zone. And my dad's response was one word. So? And even a 12. I'm like, that, I could tell you not to say that. So
if you talk to your dad that way, you would be knocked out.
You would not know me now. Right? But his response was, so? So the cop, he wrote him a ticket. And the cop was being cordial, but when we got home, my dad read through it all. In New York State, at least at the time, the cops could make the determination whether or not you had to go back to, like, a driving school thing. Oh, not okay. The full thing. 12 weeks.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Once a week. My dad was so mad.
I bet he would love it. See, I would love driving.
No, if you could drive, not you driving drive school, oh, bro. Oh, oh, driving okay. School. So, and you still had to pay the fine on the ticket. So, he is livid when we get home, and I hear him screaming to my mom about it, blah, blah, blah. Told my mom later, I'm like, the cop rolled up. He just said so. My mother was just like, what
I mean, if I could learn to do a pit maneuver, I'd be like, this is a cool day, man.
It ain't that kind of driving school, bro.
You're going back to regular basic driving.
15-year-old kids. Oh, he was pissed.
So our question, good or bad, why were the police talking to you? 206-803.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Rock.
From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room.
Steve, as you were saying, police talk to people for a lot of different reasons.
Oh, yeah. Most of them stupid.
Here's an interesting one. A New Zealand man is facing theft charges after allegedly swallowing a Fabergé pendant worth $22,000 in an Auckland jewelry store. Police say the 32-year-old suspect walked into the Partridge Jewelers on Friday. He picked up the luxury item, a Fabergé 007 Special Edition Octopussy Egg Surprise Locket.
Ah!
Bond themed, you see.
Yes.
And he gulped it down. He ate it. Officers arrived within minutes and arrested him at the scene. But here's
what did he think was going to happen?
He could just walk out?
Well, typically,
it's a Fabergé egg, man. And I mean, look, I'm not into all that crap, but I do know that for whatever reason, they're very, very pricey. If you're at a jewelry store and you're handling it, I guarantee you there's eyes on you. So once
it couldn't be that expensive. Remember Brute by Fabergé? It was like $3.
Yeah.
Cheap ass cologne.
You know why? Because it smelled like it.
But the real ones, there's only so many of them that were made or something.
Right. The originals. Wasn't like 1800, some Russian dude or something. I don't remember.
How do you spell Fabergé?
Fabergé, that would be Fabergé.
All right.
He gulped it down. I'm assuming in most jewelry stores with high-end stuff, I know the one that I was in South Africa, they have the emergency locks. There's alarms above the doors.
Yes!
I mean, you can just press a button, and like a bank, you're probably on lockdown.
You cannot get out at that point.
So the officers got there within minutes. The pendant in question has yet to be recovered. It is a crafted 18-karat yellow gold adorned with green goulash enamel.
Sure.
Ghoulish.
Don't act like you don't know.
Set with 60 white diamonds and 15 blue sapphires. Pendant, obviously, is a nod to the 1983 James Bond film Octopussy.
Which, to this day,
yeah,
hell of a name.
Tentacles. In which the famous 007 agent swaps out a Fabergé during an auction. Now the locket contains a miniature 18-karat gold octopus inside, complete with black diamond eyes, which Shinedown would like. In addition to the Fabergé incident, the man is also accused of stealing an iPad from the same jewelry store back in November.
Come on, dude.
As well as cat litter and flea treatment valued at $65 from a guy's house the next day. The suspect has been remanded into custody and is scheduled to appear in district court on Monday, as they are not going to let him go.
No, he's got to pass the egg, man.
He's got to get this thing out of his body one way or another.
I'm curious, all right? So
does this ruin this egg? Does it make it more valuable?
I was going to ask if it makes it more valuable, just in the sense of, all right, obviously nobody wants a poop stain egg. Well, I can't say nobody, but hopefully not. Obviously, they're going to clean it, sanitize it, the whole nine. But now, look, I didn't know anything about this Fabergé egg. But say I have the money to be interested in buying it. Do you up the price? Could you say, hey, man.
Well, it's $22,000.
All right. But now, do you jack it up to $30?
Because now it's known.
It's internationally known. Not because of the egg. The egg is what the egg was.
The egg has also been eaten.
Yes. This has been swallowed. It's like the Mona Lisa or whatever they stole from the Louvre, right? Like, does it go up in price because now this thing is internationally known because this guy had to poop it out? Because I can show you a Fabergé egg, Ted, right? You come to my house.
But this is like a version of it. Because the real ones, there's only so many of them made.
So this is what it looks like, Ted.
Right.
That's the egg. So,
but still, I have seven of them on my fireplace mantle. You come over to my house.
It looks like the size of an egg, though.
Yeah, but you come over to my house. You know I collect Fabergé eggs. I have seven on my mantle. Ted, this is the one you heard about. This is the one that the guy swallowed. I mean, don't you automatically have more interest in that one?
I think if I'm paying $32,000 for anything, I would prefer to never touch poop.
I would prefer it didn't, but also, like I said, if you're looking at my collection.
What if it got stuck in the intestines? Hadn't made it all the way down there. They'd operate and take it out before.
Honestly, they're just going to clean it and never tell a soul.
I would absolutely tell people. I would, because again, just from the pure interest point of view, I go to your house and you tell me this is the one you read about. Like, that's the one I'm going to spend the most time looking at.
Look, we do know this. As far as
what your body and your stomach are capable of doing.
Sure.
And how they keep you from dying. I'm wondering about the acidity of, obviously, your stomach acid.
Sure.
I mean, this is a soft metal, relatively speaking.
Yeah, gold, for sure.
You know, it could be rusting in there right now. It could be it could be going through a corrosion process.
I would think any enamel
just like your body breaks anything down.
Right.
It's going to break anything down that's on that it can.
I would say, I think it'll mostly be enamel. The gold will survive and all that, but like whatever that green enamel, because that's not a solid piece of jade, right? And that's obviously enamel on the outside. I'm saying that's gone when it pops out.
Right, and it was a pendant, so it was like a tiny.
Oh, it's a tiny, tiny.
Yeah.
Now I don't want it, now. If he pooped out the actual Fabergé egg, I'm like, that's worth what I'm saying.
If it had been
me.
One of the original eggs, I could fathom it, but those are, you know, millions of dollars, if not.
Do you think that would go up in value? Again, just the idea.
I think he would have died.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, again.
Pendant, I'm like, look. Okay. I still couldn't do it. I would have died.
Yeah.
So it's Friday. They did this on Friday in New Zealand. All so what day is that for us?
Thursday. So,
all right.
So Sunday, our time, hopefully he will have passed this thing.
You would hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, this should have already been out of his system.
That's a good point. You're saying this happened last Friday.
This last Friday.
So that's last Thursday for us. So it's been, what, 5 days?
Yes.
And they're just putting this out now? Yeah, it's still on his butt.
My money says he just is not. He's refusing to go to the bathroom.
You think he's doing that?
Because that, remember the other guy that
England 42 days. The cops saw him swallow. I believe it was drugs in this guy's case. All right, so they said, "Hey, whatever. It's happened on the weekend. We're gonna put your ass in jail because by Monday you're gonna poop it out." And this dude held it for so long, in spite of the cops witnessing this. And maybe this is just English law. They ended up letting him go because, quote unquote, there was no evidence. They had to wait for him to poop it out to prove that way. It's not just he said, she said, but he held it in for 42 days. And remember, they gave him laxatives.
Yeah.
They gave him all this high fiber food, and homie just clenched his ass, would not poop, and they had to let him go.
Our question, good or bad, why were the police talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. So I have two stories about this situation in my time of active duty military. First one, Fort Carson, Colorado. I was on CQ, manning the front desk with my sergeant and whatnot, and it's a lax detail. Like, you know, you really don't do much other than answering the door or the phone. But MPs came through my barracks building I was staying in, and went to one room. 10 minutes later, a soldier within my company just got walked out in handcuffs. Turns out the guy had 9mm ammo, two magazines of nine millimeter, a crossbow and crossbow bolts.
And I'm assuming all that should not be in his possession.
No, like there's really strict rules when it comes to like live ammo and weaponry in the barracks. That's a big no-no.
Well, someone probably had to tell him.
Oh yeah, for sure. What is?
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. So, a couple years later, when I got stationed at JBLM, I was waking up to do my morning PT and whatnot, and sure enough, I had a knock on my door. Opened the door. Turns out it was one of my MP buddies that I cooked food for and whatnot before he goes on a shift from the chow hall. He's like, "Hey, do you have any contraband in your room right now?" I'm like, "No, I do not." He's like, "Okay, because we're going to sweep through here right now. Do not leave your room."
Now, let me ask you this real quick. It's fair, as a friend, yes, I would ask my friend, "Do you have any contraband?" Was he just asking as a friend, or was he asking because legitimately you might have contraband?
Asking professionally because, like, he was, but it turns out it was one of my buddies who knocked on my door. So I was like, "Okay, heck, do your thing and whatnot, and we'll talk it over once you get over to Jowl for your breakfast meal and whatnot." And sure enough, they brought in a drug sniffing dog into the barracks room I was staying in with another guy. I let the dog sniff through every nook and cranny in the room. And our rooms were clean, and they went on to the next set. Next day afterwards and whatnot, my buddy told me, he's like, "They found like marijuana, cocaine, I think even some fentanyl too, if I remember correctly."
Jeez. No, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, that's out there.
Yeah.
You know, If he could do that lean where he's like looking like he's going to fall over, but doesn't, that's the tell.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, why didn't you just become a gymnast?
Was it someone you knew, I'm assuming?
No, not. I just recently got to JBLM at the time of this drug shakedown, so I didn't know fully everyone yet. Like, this happened within, like, a month of me getting to JBLM after doing the in-processing and all that, getting introduced to my unit and getting my barracks room. So it happened within a month.
And how long have you not been down at the base?
I make trips over to the base because I'm still within the military. I'm National Guard now.
Well, that's what I was asking. Are you a Texas Roadhouse guy?
Texas Roadhouse? Yes, I like the Texas Roadhouse, but I heard some not good things about it recently from my sister.
Okay. Well, she's the judge and the jury.
Yeah.
No, but other than that, like, the fact that we actually had a Texas Roadhouse kind of blew me away when I first got over to JBLM. I was like, wait, when the heck we got this?
Yeah. Well, it's a whole city, man. It's the third biggest city in Washington?
What, JBLM?
I believe so.
What, after Tacoma?
That would make sense.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I mean, once you get in there, the size of it is massive.
I'm not trying to go back there, man. That was it would have to be like an official visit that they know in advance, because again, the one time that I've been on that base, a friend of mine, she worked for the Department of Defense. She was there, I don't know, 6 months, maybe a year, whatever. Chris to the system, don't know what she was doing, but that's where she stayed. And we had an event, because he brought up the drug-sniffing dog. Luckily, that was not a part of this whole story. But we had an event the night before. She spent the night at my place. We drop her off at JBLM. No big deal. But, you know, you drive up there and ask for ID, which we get. She's DOD. Everyone's cool. I hand them my ID, and instantly, they're like, pull over to the side. Right? And they're not joking. And again, just, I don't know what it's about, but I'm not worried about this. But the two guards came over with M16s, and they're just standing behind the vehicle. A third guy's doing whatever he's doing, right? And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Now, I may or may not have had drugs on me that I quietly pulled out of my pocket and shoved under a seat because I'm sitting in the back seat. Anyway, they came over, and someone with my name, exact name, different middle name, as far as I know, but they did whatever they did. In Germany, at Ramstein Air Force Base, they would not tell me what the situation was. But, again, it was cleared up in a couple of minutes because they just asked me, have you ever been to Ramstein Air Force Base? I'm like, I've never heard of that in my life. They said it's in Germany. At that point, I'm like, bro, I've never been to Germany. So it's still a few more minutes because they need to make double sure. But they're like, well, hey, look, because they said don't visit there. That's what I have no plans for. Not Germany, Ramstein Air Force Base. I'm like, I cannot think of a reason why I'd be there, but not a problem. And they said someone with your name did something very, very bad. And I'm like, what did they do? They're like, sir, we cannot tell you that. And I'm like, wow, man.
You should have started playing Ramstein on your phone. Like, I have no idea, man.
Yeah, but I have nothing to do with that. But I had removed perhaps some contraband out of my pockets to elsewhere in the car, in case they pulled my ass out.
Well, the MP's got to stay up on that, because unfortunately, there's so many people in the military.
Sure.
Like, that stuff happens all the time. I watched a whole show last night about these National Guardsmen down in Texas who basically got into drug running across the border. And they were like, we didn't ask what it was, but, like, the border agents wouldn't mess with them, because they're National Guardsmen. So if you fill out the proper paperwork, you could take a military vehicle. So they would just kept waving them through, and then finally, somebody got caught with something, and they figured it out.
Uh-huh.
But, okay. Yeah, so when he was like, yeah, they came through and swept the barracks, I was like, that's got to happen a decent amount.
I would think so, yeah.
Well, plus you're dealing generally with people that are younger.
Yeah, you're dealing with absolutely. You're dealing with kids.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part. I mean, I sit with those guys at the bar all the time, down in DuPont. I'm just like, I cannot. They're talking about Ranger stuff. And I'm looking at him like, wow, dude, you are. I know you're in shape. I just can't believe how young your face looks. You know, you are in tip-top physical
shape. Sure.
You could run farther than anybody. I get it. You're good or bad, why were the police talking to you? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Andy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
So, yeah, so this was the summer of 94. I was 19 years old, and I was working at this hotel. And I had the 11 to 7 shift, so I was like the night auditor guy. And come about 3 a.m., well, first of all, I thought it was a good idea, since this was during the week, that I would just drop a hit of acid. So I dropped a small hit of acid. It was the weekday. I've been there for 6 months, and it was just supposed to be a dead day. It was like a random Tuesday or Wednesday. So I'm like, I'll just take a hit of acid and just go to work. And you know, it's a good 8 hours, whatever. And so come about 3 a.m., I was at full peak, you know, pupils dilated, everything. Just seeing stuff. There's like a little fireplace they turned on, you know, in the little lobby area, and I just stared at that for a few hours. But then this lady came in, and she was roughly around 60, you know, at 19, it's hard to judge age, but she was around 60, I think. And she's like, oh, I'm here to check in. I'm like, you know, after getting her name and stuff like that, just peeking. She wasn't there. We didn't have a reservation for her. And so she started to argue, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't have a reservation. And then she started getting really angry and started like pushing chairs around. I'm like, sorry, miss, I don't even know what's happening right now. and so I ended up having to call the police because she started to cause more of a disturbance. And I was trying to tell her to keep it down because, you know, there was adjacent rooms available. And I'm calling the police 30 minutes later, just eyes are dilated. You know, they're all black and they're just, I am so high. And the cops come in. I'm trying to explain to them what the hell is going on. And I'm like, this lady, she doesn't have a reservation. And I'm like, I don't even know what the hell's happening right now. And it come to find out, they talked to her and she was at a completely different hotel. They had to break it down with her. And during this whole event, I have no idea what's going on. And then these ladies come in right after the cops are talking to her. And they're like, hi, and this is at this point, it's 4 a.m. And these two ladies come in. They're like, yeah, we're looking for a room, whatever, you know, 401. But they're dressed in like gowns and everything. And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. I'll even walk you to the room just to get out of this scenario of this lady pointing. Cops are like, oh, is everybody blah, blah, blah. So I walk them to this room, not even thinking anything of it. Come to find out, so after the cops, they escorted the lady out. They took her to her adjacent hotel. And I'm just losing my mind at this point going, what the hell is happening? I dropped off the lady. So come 6 a.m., I'm starting to come down. Everything is starting to, you know, reality is starting to come back again. Well, they checked in after I figured out there was two Disney executives. And that was my first time I ever saw escorts at that level.
Oh!
And so they had two escorts. They had two escorts that dealt with these Disney executives. 6 a.m., those gentlemen check out like around, oh, it was like 8 a.m. Those girls left at 7 and just grabbed a mint and said, thanks, honey, and they left.
Grabbed a mint. So, give me a kiss. Come on in.
Yeah, that was it. They just grabbed a like one of those little peppermint checkered mint things, you know, the red and you know, or white ones, and said thanks. And then that was my night. But, I mean, this hotel, I mean, it was Disney executive, so it wasn't not, you know, a Best Western of some sort.
I get what they're up to.
The gowns at that time of night.
I wouldn't have thought about it either, man.
That was my first thought. They got to be high-end escorts.
Yeah, Disney. Happiest place on earth.
Good or bad, why were the police talking to you?
Get a bit.
Well, gals, take off that gown.
206-803-ROCK.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.